You're listening to Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Monday, and
it's really casual.
It is super casual.
I almost didn't leave the house on time because I was like, oh, yeah, it's casual Monday.
We get casual week all week. And this morning, even I walked by the receptionist desk here, and we have a little sign there that we turn around on Fridays. It says, you know, it's casual, but business as usual.
Yeah.
And I flipped it around so that everyone remembered that it was casual week here.
Yeah, so we're all like super chill.
It's casual week here in the office because we all worked really hard.
We did.
Speaking of working hard, the people that work really hard, we think of pastors during this month of December, like during Advent, all super, super busy. Yeah.
The number of sermons that they have to write.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like double time.
Yeah.
Double duty writing sermons and stuff. But what you don't think about is your managing editor of the Lutheran Witness working double time to prepare this December issue of the Lutheran Witness. Mm-hmm. In studio this morning, Rachel Bomberger. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us in the coffee hour this morning.
It's great to be here.
It is fun, and I'm excited to talk about the December issue because there are a couple of good things in here, but there's a lot of work that goes into the December issue because when is Christmas this year? December 25th, is that right?
I think so.
Yeah. It keeps moving on me.
It's no longer a movable feast, just in case you were wondering. That changed a few years ago.
Man.
December 25th, but that presents some challenges. When you have a periodical like this, Christmas comes every year. How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it engaging?
It's really, actually, that's one of the harder things, is trying to come up with something new every Christmas, every Easter, because people don't like you really skipping the Christmas issue. It doesn't tend to go over well. And yet, it's the same topics year after year. When I go diving into the archives for ideas, I just see themes repeating, and they're beautiful themes, and you don't want to miss that. Mm-hmm. But to come up with a way that sort of feels fresh continues to be a challenge. Last year, we talked about Mary and some of the controversies that go along with Mary. This year, we wanted to focus on the incarnation. And, we talk about it. The words just sort of flow right over us. Christ was born as a baby. He grew into a man. But what does it mean for us that Christ has a body?
Hmm.
That he is fully human, flesh and blood. And what does that mean for us in our bodies? So we, looked at some of the implications of the incarnation. But we also looked at just what it means to have a body, to be embodied people in the manner of our Lord.
Yeah, that's something that that we've been focusing on, too. I don't know if that's coincidental or if it's just like a thing in our Lutheran bubble now to talk about theology of the body and incarnation. But
I think it's really vital because many of the controversies that we are facing as a society in some way tie into embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the transgender issues and gender dysphoria, but also human sexuality, abortion, war, the environment. So many of these issues tie back into embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important whenever we're thinking about theology of the body to start with Jesus.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan to me.
God incarnate. All right, I'll go there.
Yeah. So, what kind of topics do you cover then in this issue?
Well, we start the issue, as I often do, with sort of a historical look at how Luther talked about the miracle of the incarnation. He called it the miracle supreme, and liked to preach about it, and liked got a little saucy to basically telling his. In his sermons, telling his parishioners that they didn't appreciate it enough.
Wait, you can imagine. Luther was being saucy?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And then to show that Lutherans can be saucy in any generation, we've got a wonderful story by Pastor Merritt Dembski, who I believe is going to be on the show later this week, to talk about when Jesus ruins Christmas.
I love that title.
Yeah, and he'll go into that more when you talk with him. But what happens when you really turn your gaze on what happens at Christmas? And can maybe some of the other trappings that distract us from that lose their appeal? So he'll talk about that. One thing that I'm really talk about keeping it fresh, mm-hmm. looking at the visual faith movement almost that has been so there for the last couple of years in mm-hmm. our church body. Was really pleased to get illustrator Jamie Truey. I don't actually know how to pronounce her last name.
That's right. So
Truey,
great. All right.
Well, we love Jamie.
She created an original coloring page for us yeah. in this issue that you can reproduce and sort of dig into in slow motion mm-hmm. The verse from John 1, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us.
I saw that and I was a little disappointed I didn't have coloring pencils in the studio this morning.
Well, while we were putting the issue together, it was so fun because we always put pages up on the wall for other people in LCMS communications to look at and comment on. And two different people in the department asked me to make copies of that page for them to take home and try it out. So that was
funny.
Wonderful.
Did it become like a communal coloring page on the wall?
No. Oh,
nobody colored the one on the wall.
That
would have been really fun.
If Sarah was in our department, the things that would happen.
Get a little crazy.
There are, you know, I could have just like liberated the colored pencils from your desk or Mary's desk.
Liberated
them. Trapped. So I could color it in while I'm here in the studio. I love the work that Jamie does, mm-hmm. and there's some other artists as well that were contributors to the Enduring Word Bible at CPH, and we had her on to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah,
got to go back in the archives and find that too. Mm-hmm. She was a great guest, and it was fun talking about that.
I'm so grateful for people like that. As I like to say, the good Lord gave me words. He did not give me pictures. So I'm really glad that there are gifted people out there to share their talents in that way.
Speaking of gifted people, some great authors, contributors to this month's issue as well. You mentioned Pastor Dembski, who's mm-hmm. a regular here on KFUO. He's a regular guest on Concord Matters here at KFUO. But some more authors, some more writers this month as well.
Yeah. John Kleinig is, you know, someone well known in the LCMS, and he's been doing a lot of thinking and writing on theology of the body mm-hmm. over the last couple of years. And so he came in with an article called A Well-Wrapped Gift, and the article is itself a gift, in which he looks at, again, what a great gift God gives to us at Christmas in the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. One of my friends and frequent collaborators over on the Lutheran Witness blog, Pastor Tim Pauls out in Idaho, wrote an article that is probably my favorite in the issue. Am I allowed to have a favorite?
I was going to ask you what your favorite was. So yes, you're allowed.
You decide. But the what kind of storm that's going to create for you.
Well, it's out on the airwaves now. So.
Yeah, all right. No, he approached me with this article months and months ago, said I'd love to write something on the theology of the body. And I said, you know, I've got a Christmas issue for you. And his article actually has 0% to do with Christmas as we think of it. And yet, it is such a beautiful thing to read this time of year. He tells the story of a pastoral visit he did to a man on his deathbed who had lived his entire life with severe disabilities, and a conversation he had with the man's mother about the resurrection and what that will mean for someone who has always, always experienced hardship in the body, that he's perfect because God made him perfect, but oh, how much more perfect mm-hmm. will he be when Christ makes all things new. And it's so profound the way he tells this story and weaves in some of his own reflections on what it means that we not only live in the body, but that we will live in the body, in a glorified body, for all of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what incredible hope this gives us.
Yeah. Yeah. The I don't know, the more we dig into the theology of the body, the more it just like kind of blows my mind.
I know,
in
right?
a really cool way. Because we learn about it, but it's not something that I've never really dug into it.
We take before. It for granted.
Yeah. Well, and like we live in these bodies every day, so it's obvious, but it's not.
I think we've also been influenced to some degree by Gnosticism too, that we have this idea that spiritual things have nothing to do with the body and everything is totally separate, and being a Christian is about what evangelicalism in the United States really it focuses on, about being spiritual. Mm-hmm. And
it's all in your heart.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And that we forget about this that God gave us bodies, mm-hmm. and they're not just going away.
No.
That, that this is, he redeemed the body too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think in a large way, this issue has been exacerbated and made more urgent for us by the fact that so many of us spend so much of our existence in a digital world.
Mm.
I'm sure, Sarah, you've had opportunity to think of this as you exist as a person online and yet not a person.
Yeah, it's weird.
An avatar. And, that you are here, your body is here, and yet your online representation maybe floating off in the ether somewhere. And I would love to see our church reflect deeply on what that means theologically.
Yeah, that is a topic for another 12 minutes.
You should be in the cubicle next to her when she's living virtually out in the interweb somewhere.
Yeah,
it's like she's gone.
Brain is
yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah,
it is weird because because you're interconnecting with all of these people and organizations who aren't actually there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're somewhere, but they're not here. It's, I don't know, it makes my brain hurt.
And yet, at Christmas, we have this opportunity to reflect on God did not show up as a disembodied avatar,
right?
That Jesus Christ was born as a human being in a body, just the same as all of us. And what does that mean for how valuable?
Should that be the name of today's segment? God is not a disembodied avatar.
I'm going to write that down. I think
don't
that one
quote
means.
Me on that.
No, it'll just be the title of the episode. It's fine.
We have more to talk about with Rachel Bumberger, managing editor of the Lutheran Witness. We're going to take a look at the gift giving guy.
Yay!
Oh. Yeah, some cool stuff to check out. Yeah, you still have time.
Well, it's only December 3rd.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, you still have time to get some of the cool gifts, particularly for Lutherans. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.